Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All right. All right.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. You can keep the conversation going on Twitter by following at Freddie Scott, F-R-E-D-D-I-E, Scott, or you can go to freddiescott.org. The call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. We have a great show lined up once again today for you. We'll be talking about your family's brand. And we've got a Super Bowl winning coach, Tony Dungy, talking about what he looks for in an NFL player later on in the show. As well as you're going to hear Coach Dungy's Super Bowl journey from disappointment to triumph from our friends at I Am Second. Later on, also, we're going to have a good friend, Hodge Flemings, who will be featured in the upcoming CNN special, Black in America. He'll stop by to give us tips to create our family's brand. And as always, we'll wrap the show with an All-Pro Dad play of the day. Well, today I'm excited about having a couple new friends. Actually one of my former quarterbacks. A 12-year NFL career, Kelly Holcomb, is joining us this week on the Freddie Scott Show to talk about this weekend's sports and activity. So, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate you having me on, Freddie.
Hey, man, it's so good to reconnect with you. Every time I hear you and see you, I have flashbacks, and I think I can run another. I think I still have at least 20 plays a game in me, and I think you can probably get it to me still. So we might want to do a little comeback.
Everybody asks me about that all the time, about a comeback. But I'm not as big as I used to be, Freddie. I still think I could have played a couple more years. I still think I could go out there now and play, but just don't have the size that I used to have.
I think my after about two routes, two streaks, I think my hamstrings would say the same thing to me. I'm also joined by a frequent guest of ours and host of Life After the Game, Lamar Campbell, former NFL cornerback, and it's so good to have you on the show again, Lamar, as well.
Oh, great to be back, Freddie. Always a pleasure to come on the show and speak with you.
Well, hey, guys, obviously this weekend we had a lot of news in the sports world, and none more pressing than something near and dear to my heart, something coming out of Penn State. Unfortunately, news is coming out that the athletic director had to step down after perjury charges against him after the alleged sexual offense of former defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky. Just tragic things that you're hearing about, things that he was doing to at-risk kids while he was there. And just for if you're just hearing about this, this actually apparently was taking place during the time frame that I was actually there on campus during my tenure there. Personally, I have never seen or heard anything of the things that have been alleged of Jerry. That's not saying that he's innocent at all. I'm just saying that as a former player there in the locker room, I had roommates that were on the defensive side of the ball. He is the defensive coordinator there. We never heard anything. There is no chatter about any of this, but of course this is very disheartening when you think about someone with that level of authority and respect doing something that like that to young people. And so, Kelly, what are your thoughts when you heard about that these allegations? What were your thoughts and your take on it?
Well, it's just very sad because obviously he had been, he'd been an icon for decades there under Joe Paterno, and obviously, you know, you were there when he was there, and I've known some other Penn State guys, and it's just sad that you hear something like that, and I think it reverberates back to you never really know what's going on in people's lives, and obviously he has not been, he has not been proven guilty or anything, and it'll have to be settled out in the court system, but. You know, just those accusations, man, is really sad, and you hope for the best. But obviously something was done. Somebody brought some things up that needed to be brought out into light. And I always think about it because you're a Christian guy. I'm a Christian guy, and if you do bad things, it doesn't matter when it's going to be. And maybe a lot of people don't know it, but the man upstairs knows it, and it's going to come out sooner or later.
You're exactly right, Lamar. I know, you're a Big Ten guy as well, and as much as we like to see each other's school sort of go down a little bit, when it's something like this, I'm sure, your heart just sort of sinks a little bit when you hear about something like this happening.
Yeah, it definitely does, Freddie. And, I've always had love for Penn State. I didn't have a chance to attend Penn State. Of course, I went to University of Wisconsin, but growing up a Pennsylvania guy, you understand the icon that is Joe Paterno at Penn State football and what that program stands for. Putting out a great young man as well as yourself, doing great things, not only in football, but also in life. So to hear of accusations like this, to hit a state of Pennsylvania the way that it did with 40 counts being brought against the defensive coordinator. And as Kelly said, definitely want to see things work out in court. Nothing has been proven yet, but, things will come to life. It's just a devastating thing. I mean, you look at Joe Paterno, what he's meant to Pennsylvania and just college football altogether, and to have this on his resume so that he has to deal with this late in his career is just tragic.
Yeah, and I think that there's something I think people need to also keep in mind, that I think that there is something different in this situation. And in fact, I was asked recently if I thought that this would tarnish Joe's legacy. And personally, I don't think it does. Because of one thing, not because something bad happened, because in any program, you're going to have kids break the law, kids get arrested, you're going to have bad things happen, and this, of course, is something tragic, and you wish it never happened at all. But at the same time, I think because, at least what was reported, and the reason why Joe Paterno was not charged with anything, is because when the situation came up and it was told to him about the allegations, he immediately reported it to the athletic director and to the school, university, and then it was their responsibility to do the research and do their due diligence, and then that's where they messed up, at least that's what the reports are saying, that then they tried to cover things up and they didn't disclose the truth. But I think on Joe's side, he did what he was supposed to do. He found out, and I think I don't like putting other people under the bus, but I think if Tressel would have done this at Ohio State when he found out that some of the kids were doing something and at least reported it, he is still the coach there. And even though it's something bad that would happen under that reign, I think that there's a difference. Would you agree, Kelly, that is sort of a difference, that because he did report it, that maybe it doesn't tarnish him as much?
You know what, Freddie, I think the big word that you said in all that was truth. The truth will always come out. And I think that if you have nothing to hide, I think Joe Paterno did exactly what he was supposed to do. He reported the incident from the grad assistant, and he took it to the proper authorities. And, then after he did that, then he told the truth. He did what he was supposed to do, and then it's on the other guys. I mean, you've got to report something like that, and obviously – with them stepping down, they tried to cover things up, and they tried to, it was going to be a big story then, just like it is now. So you've got to, when you're put into a situation like that, I think you always have to tell the truth.
Lamar, and I think that's something that all of us have gone through situations where it's like, oh my gosh, you don't want this thing to come out, so you try to cover it up, but it always ends up worse when you try to cover things up. So I mean, if you're talking, if you're one of our listeners out there listening and you're faced with a situation that you think, you know what, let me try to keep this skeleton in this closet. You know, Lamar, it never works out that way, does it?
It never works out that way, Freddie. And you got to understand the situation as well, too. I mean, you played for Joe Paterno. You know, Sandusky was a four-year player with you guys as well, and 23 years as a defensive coordinator as well. So the integrity that Joe Paterno runs that program, you knew he's the type of guy that was always going to do the right thing. He built his program that way. You guys have won national championships, have been a successful program, and I'm sure he preaches the integrity to you and the guys up there in Happy Valley all day, every day. So when that situation arises, and so especially in a place where Happy Valley, especially in a media now where everyone seems to be attacking the NCAA and looking for more bad, and we're not going to know, this isn't a show on the NCAA. We can go on about the NCAA forever, but these are the type of things that are definitely going to come out. We live in a different world now where everything is so viral. You can find out information so quickly now with the World Wide Web. It's usually your best bet, and it will probably behoove you to just be upfront and honest about the situation. And I think Joe Paterno did that. I don't think it'll ruin or tarnish his legacy at all. But he has to be thoroughly disappointed that this is a blemish on his program, just to even have the accusations.
Right. Well, I totally agree. Now, changing gears, this weekend we have some pretty good football games. And in fact, I want to touch on the LSU-Alabama victory, the LSU winning by 3. And let the record show, you heard it on the Freddie Scott Show last week. In fact, I'm going to play this prediction to you right now. This is the Freddie Scott Show last week, my prediction. I'm going to go for an upset. I'm going to pick LSU going into Alabama and winning in Alabama by 3 points.
Okay, we got to...
I called it. The record show. I called it. So, Kelly, I'm sure you saw the game, defensive struggle, you know, field goal kicking contest. What were your takeaway from that game?
Yeah, well, I had to do the UT Middle Tennessee State game, and I got to see the last part of the game, and I was watching. I was trying to keep up with it, in between. But I think it was like everybody thought it was going to be. It's a defensive struggle. I think you got two of the better defenses, probably the top two defenses in the country, and I think it turned out that I think the reason that LSU came out on top, obviously the kid for you got to feel bad about it. The kid for Alabama missing four field goals, and if he makes one of those, the ball game's over. But that's playing the game, and I think where you look at, I think Jordan Jefferson a little bit more experience. They ended up setting Jarrett Lee down and letting him take over the football game, and I think he got a little bit of more experience. I know it didn't show up in the stat book, but all the running and things that he was able to do. And get some crucial first downs there at the end of the game. Whereas you look to Alabama, and when AJ McCarron got in that overtime there, and he had Trent Richardson on the right sideline, that's a play as a quarterback that you've got to make in those situations that he couldn't make it. So I thought it was a great game. I know that they only dropped a 3 in the BCS standings. You never know; they might have to meet again.
You never know, Lamar. What is your takeaway? I agree, Kelly. I think quarterback play was the difference. Obviously, the field goal kickers, the special team play was also critical. What was your takeaway, Lamar?
I have to go and agree with both of you. I think it was just a well-thought-out game. As a defensive player, I loved it. I loved the low-scoring game. I loved the hard-hitting game. I loved the tenacity of it. I think Jefferson, having already beaten Alabama, played a lot more relaxed. And, of course, I thought special teams were going to be the deciding factor. I did not think the missed field goals would be as big as a factor. I thought it would be more special teams as far as field position, playing field position. But as you mentioned, that's the game of football, so you missed those field goals, and it was definitely as advertised. I mean, that was 1-2. You have the 1-2 team in the nation coming out with that low of a score and winning by 3 points. It was definitely as advertised. And the hats off to Les Miles. He kept the guys loose. He went into Alabama. They did something that no one had ever done, which was beat Nick Saban in a revenge game and beat him twice in 2 years. So definitely hats off to both teams. And as Kelly said, you could definitely see these guys again Down the line, Oklahoma State still has a couple of big games left in the schedule. We could definitely see LSU and Alabama playing for the national championship in New Orleans.
All right. I've got under 1 minute left, and I want to get your quick pick. Kelly, one word, which team should be more concerned after losing at home in the last minute, the Patriots or the Steelers?
I'm going to say the Patriots. They just haven't looked good for the last 3 weeks. You know, they had to come back 3 weeks ago against Dallas. And, you know, I just think that defensively, you know, they're not playing very well right now. And it seems like that Tom Brady's having to make, you know, he's having to do some things that, he's done some things offensively that he normally doesn't do. And he's turned the ball over quite a bit. Yesterday, turned it over a couple of times, and you're not used to seeing Tom Brady like that. So I'm sure they're going to try to get the ship righted, but I think, right now the Pittsburgh Steelers are in a better situation.
Well, that's the time we have. This is a fast 15 minutes. I've got to have you guys back on the show because we didn't even get a chance to get our prediction for the Eagles games tonight. I think the Eagles are going to still look strong. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. When we come back after the break, we're going to hear from Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy give his coaching story from tragedy to triumph. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
We're the number one seed. We've got a great team, a team really without any weaknesses. We've got home field advantage. Everyone is saying it's our year. We end up falling behind to the Steelers in our first round game. We march back. We've got a chance to tie the game up and go into overtime. And Mike Vanderjagt's our kicker, extremely accurate guy, never misses a big kick, and he misses. Pittsburgh goes on to win the Super Bowl. And now you kind of hear from everybody, well, the Colts are never going to win one. They've had all these teams that are really good, but something's missing, and that window of opportunity is going to close up on them. I can remember thinking, man, as good a team as we had, if we don't win it now, we may never win it. And I'm going to have to be okay with that. I think you can glorify the Lord in every circumstance. How you respond to failure, how you respond to disappointment, says a lot more than how you do in successes. God has taken some unexpected things in my life over and over, and really, I think, tried to find out if I was going to stay with Him or if I was ever going to get to the point where I say, this is too much. I'm going to go my own way. I started coaching when I was 25 years old, and probably by the time I'd been an assistant coach for 10, 11 years, the word was getting out, this guy might be a good head coach. I started to interview for head coaching jobs, but everyone was looking for that stereotypical coach, looking for the guy who was going to demand perfection from his players, who was going to show that emotion and everything that they expected to see in a head coach. And that wasn't me. How much does this mean to you? How much are you prepared to sacrifice to lead his team? And what's important to you in life? And you know what the man wants to hear, but it's not really what's in your heart. I'm going to give you a lot. I believe I'm going to deliver you a championship, but no, the team is not going to be the most important thing. When I was called to interview at Tampa, I told Lauren, we're not going to get this job. I don't know anybody there. I have no connections. And so when I got the job, I said, you know what, we want to win a Super Bowl, and I believe we will. I want to do it the right way. I want to do it so that our young men are people that the community is going to be proud of. I want to do it in such a way that we're doing the right things with our families, and it's going to be a win-win situation. I believe it can be done, and I believe it can be done here. Came down feeling like, hey, this is where God wants us. We're going to win. Everything's going to be great because this is God's plan. It's not my plan. That's, to me, one of the hardest things in life, when you have an idea of the way things are going to go, what you hope for, what you dream about, what you pray for, and it doesn't come through. That's when it's easy to get disappointed with God. Why didn't it work? Why didn't it pan out the way I thought it would? It was one of the biggest disappointments of my life, because I did feel like the Lord had brought me down to Tampa. And I had to realize that it worked out. It just didn't work out the way I had planned. I didn't know at the time when I got fired what I was supposed to do. Was I supposed to look for something in Tampa outside of football, or was I supposed to look for another job, another city? And Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, called me and he said, we're making a change at head coach for the Indianapolis Colts, and you're the guy that I want to be our coach. I believe in all the things that you believe in. We want to do things the right way. We want to win, but win with the right kind of people, and you're the guy to lead us. And that was a message that I really needed to hear at that point. Favorite passage in the Bible is where Christ says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? And with 31 years in the National Football League, I've seen that a lot. And so to me, that was the thing that I always wanted to tell my players. Don't put this game first. Don't make football everything in your life. How we relate to each other, how we live, what you have in your heart for eternity, how you respond to the Lord, that's the most important thing. This game will take care of itself. Even though we, you know, for 4 or 5 years had those bitter disappointments at the end of each year, I never gave up. It wasn't to the point where I said, hey, we can never win this thing, but I got to the point where if that is what God has in store. It'd be a bitter pill to swallow, but I'm going to be okay with that. We've been through a lot, and our slogan by that time was, it's our time. Those disappointments were in the past, but now it's our time, and we got to seize the moment, and we did that. Amazing thing in the locker room, Super Bowls are so different. As soon as you win, the celebration starts. You have a ceremony out on the field. It maybe takes 40 minutes to get everybody back together. Many of our players were just waiting. They said, Coach, we've got to finish this one like we have every other game. We've got to have the team prayer. And we asked that the reporters shut their cameras down and let us pray. And I was so proud of the guys for hanging in there and saying, this is what we want to do. We want to honor the Lord in this victory. And we did that. One photographer didn't honor our wishes. He took a picture of it, but that picture went all over the internet, went all over, and it was really a great tribute to what that team had in mind of putting the Lord first, even at the Super Bowl. Every decision I make in life, I'm going to make it through the lens of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put him out there first, and my own feelings, my own thoughts, my own desires are going to be second. It's that simple. And if we do that, Christ promised that he would come into our lives, he'd be our head coach, and he'd guide us to that victory, that ultimate victory. I'm Tony Dungy, and I am second.
Again, we want to thank our good friends at I Am Second for providing us that great interview with Coach Dungy, sharing his journey of being an NFL coach and the disappointments and that entire journey. And when you think about his story and what he said, he talked about specifically when he was being interviewed for head coaching positions that he wasn't going to compromise his standards. He wasn't going to compromise who he was and what he believed, even to the point of saying that football was not the most important thing. It sounded like he actually understood what his message and what his purpose and what his goals were and even what his brand is. And today I have a great friend joining us today who is an expert when you talk about branding. His name is Hodge Flemings. Hodge is the founder of Brand Camp University, the premier personal branding conference, and author of Brand You Life, Rethinking Who You Are Through Personal Brand Management. He has been featured on ESPN.com, BusinessWeek.com, BlackEnterprise.com, and will be featured in the upcoming CNN Black in America segment, which will be airing this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, November the 13th. I want to welcome to the show Hodge Flemings. Hodge, welcome to the Freddie Scott Show.
Thank you, Freddie. I greatly appreciate this opportunity to be on today with you.
Well, we have just a couple minutes before we go to this next break, but when you heard that story of Coach Dungy talking about he had a clear vision of who he was, of even his brand, so to speak. He didn't use the term brand, but doesn't it sound like he understood who he was and what his brand should be to even understand which team, if a team would even fit his coaching style?
Absolutely, because when you think about a brand, it really goes into the value system. Companies spend billions of dollars every year to position their product, their service, what they offer in the minds of their end customer. And they're very methodical and thorough in every decision, in every touch point. And as individuals, we don't necessarily, typically we haven't gone through that same process, but we should. And our life goals and ultimately where we end up in life goes back to every single decision, and it's those small decisions that impact and frame how the outside world sees us and impacts not only our family life but the business life that we have and the opportunities for strategic partnerships that avail themselves down the road.
So then if I'm a guy listening right now, and of course I have a family or I want to start a family, but really, branding isn't just for a company. branding is really something that every single person, whether or not you're a man or woman, boy, girl, married, not married, I mean, this is something that I should understand what my core values are and then and sort of go from there. So what are some of those first steps that a person should do? We have 1 minute before we're going to go to break, but just give us a teaser of what you're going to be talking about when we come after the break as far as those first steps in creating your brand.
I think, first of all, is that you have to know thyself. And it's very important to really understand the space that you believe that God has called you to. What is the land, what is the area that God has called you, not only called you to, but called you to totally dominate. And when you really think about that, you begin to think about why you're even on this planet. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something that I like to talk about. It's called the 92,000 hours. And it's going to focus on what you were really created to do. So starting there and understanding the space that you're called to is important.
You are listening to the Freddie Scott Show. We are joined by brand specialist Hodge Flemings, who will be featured on the upcoming CNN special Black in America this Sunday. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back right after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Once again, this is your show, America. We thank each and every one of you for not just joining us, but even spreading the word to your friends, sharing the love on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find the Freddie Scott Show on Facebook. There's a fan page. Every interview, the Tony Dungy interview, the guests that have been on the show, the All Pro Dad Play of the Days, all those links are available on the Freddie Scott fan page on Facebook. Just search the Freddie Scott Show, like the page, and you will always be in the loop with what's going on the show. Also, you can subscribe to the Freddie Scott Show on iTunes. It's available for download for free, as well as you can subscribe. And again, we appreciate you taking the time out to join us today. We've been joined right before the break with Hodge Flemings, a personal brand strategist, and this guy is phenomenal. He's a great friend. We've known each other for years, and so he has been doing such a great job in understanding branding, not only from a company perspective, but from a personal perspective, that he's going to be featured on this upcoming CNN special called Black in America, which will be featured 8 o'clock Eastern Sunday, November 13th. Mark your calendar. You definitely want to watch Hodge this Sunday on CNN. But before the break, he had talked about something really, really interesting, and I pulled out a pen and notepad to get some notes here. You talked about, Hodge, that there's a specific area that we've been called to dominate, something that understanding our purpose in life, and that through that process we should understand what our brand is. So go ahead and pick it up right there and tell our audience, you know, how we can identify that space we're called to dominate.
Okay. One thing that you have to think about, you need to think about what are the talents, skills, and abilities that you have. And you begin to think about what do you have a passion for, but it's not just from a hobby standpoint, it's not just so I can just do this just because, but it's because I have a certain desire and drive in that particular space, but also my skill set aligns with that, my interest aligns with that, because what happens is that people who are truly successful are people that love what they do, and they have the ability and the capacity to be able to do it at a higher level than other people. And what happens is that there's going to be times, regardless of what you do, that you're not going to want to go to work. There are times where a chef doesn't want to cook, where an artist doesn't want to paint. And so that's where that drive for that particular space begins to really kick in. And you begin to see those are the kind of people that truly innovate the space versus just existing.
Wow. And there's so many people listening right now that are at work or going to work or came from work, and they're in that space you just talked about. I'm doing what I know how to do. I'm doing what I was trained to do. I'm doing what's providing an income for my family, but I am not doing what I love to do. And so is that something that, how do you transition from that if, you know, I'm just happy to have a job? You know, can you get to the place where you can even transition from just having a job to actually tapping into a passion of yours and doing what you've been created to do? And from that, understanding, you know, what type of model should that be reflecting in my family? Because you had mentioned that there should be certain values that I have already predetermined that this represents me. And I should be reflecting those in my home as well, shouldn't I?
Absolutely. There isn't any difference between work and home. Sometimes people think that you can be one way on the job or at work and be a totally different person at home. And I think you're the same person, in both areas. But also too, going back to another point that you mentioned in terms of, you know, we make decisions that impact not only our lives, but our family's lives. Proverbs 22:1 says that a good name is to be chosen above great riches. So that means that I have to make good decisions so that when my daughter goes to school, she's 15 months old now, as she gets older, she doesn't have to live through my bad decision or my poor decision and my wife the same way. And what you'll see in many cases, you'll see this happen in the athletic arena, you'll see this happen in the entertainment arena, is that there are character issues that take place that then what it does is that it puts people in a position to where they're no longer able to generate the type of revenue that they did previously, and it all goes back to character. And character is a learned behavior. If you don't have strong character, you can develop it.
Now, what you're seeing a lot, though, is the areas of businesses collapsing, people losing money, investments folding, you know, all these things you're saying are tied to character, not just necessarily a bad economy. Would you agree that if you're a person that understands what you've been created to do, you understand your purpose, you were able to identify those things through what you just talked about. You've identified what your skills are, what your talents are, what your abilities are, and what you're passionate about. You know, something that you don't have to pay me to do this because I love doing this. You know, I played football back when I was a kid because I loved playing the game. It was just a perk to play in the NFL, but it was something that I knew from 5 years old. It was something that I always wanted to do. And now I've tapped into a space of knowing that speaking to men, speaking to families, speaking to youth and talking about character building and development, those things that, you know what, I love doing that. That's my space. So would you agree that that's something that all of us can do in identifying what your values are, what your purpose are, and in that space, there should be some provision that got to open up some doors of revenue streams and things of that nature.
Yes, and then what happened is that passion needs to be directed at a problem, so that, you know, people, you know, in life, we get paid and people get compensated well when they solve problems better than someone else. Bill Gates solved the problem of software back in the early 80s better than someone else. And he didn't even create the DOS operating system. He modified somebody else's system. But he took something. He took an idea, directed it at somebody else's pain point, and then there's a business model behind how you actually do that. What is going to be the streams of revenue? What are going to be the areas that are going to create revenue based on what you love to do and a problem that you love to solve? And again, that is the perfect scenario. Earlier you mentioned in terms of how does someone transition. There's a term that I coined is called grustle. And it's a grind and a hustle. So that means that the average person has a grind. It's their daily job that they go to every single day. And most people go to a job that they hate or they don't have a passion for. And then there's this hustle, this thing that they love doing on the side. And so I think the average people need to get to a point to where that grind and that hustle is the same thing. So what you do on the side is something that you can use as a way to generate revenue while you're using your day job to be able to fund that hustle till you get to a point to where now you can do it and it makes sense financially.
And you know what? What you just said is very wise, because there are some people that may say, you know what? I don't like this job. I quit. And okay,
yep.
You still have bills to pay. You still got a mortgage or rent. You got a car note. You still have obligations. And so what you're talking about is a bridge between from where you are to where you want to go. And even if where you are isn't where you want to be, you can implement a process with wisdom to make that transition to the place of your doing what you know you're created to do. You're doing what you're passionate about doing. There's a revenue stream providing and meeting those needs, but you don't burn the bridge
before.
You try not to burn the bridge at all, right?
Absolutely. Because, again, the person that works under you might be your boss in the next job. You know, and that's the way the economy is going, where things are happening so fast that you never know when you're going to need that person. And so, you know, scripturally, there's certain things that we should do. But I mean, but just from a logical, common sense standpoint, treating people right is always the best method. Because, again, the same people you see on the way up, you'll see the same people on the way down. Guaranteed.
Now, when you talk about character and personal brand management and the things that you do in your brand camps, for somebody that they haven't even talked about or heard of branding or thought about branding themselves, what would be the first step for someone to start creating a brand, not just for themselves, but even for their families? You know, when you think of Ford, you know, that is a family name that is branded with car company. You know,
mm-hmm.
I would love to have the Scott name be branded for certain things. So what would be those first steps, as we have 3 minutes before we go to break, for a person listening right now to start creating their own brand, not just for themselves, but also for their families?
Okay, since we live in the technology age, I'm going to give some technology tips. One thing is that you want to own your identity. So that means that you want to own the .com. You want to own the social network URL. So if you're going to be active in Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook, you want to go in and they allow you to be able to customize those. So you want to be able to own what we would call digital real estate so that you can own that. That becomes very important. The other thing is that you want to be able to drive people back to an online hub that you own, which would be your own .com, because you're renting on these other social networks. And so it's very important to make sure that you drive people back to an actual hub.
He talked about some very, very important things. First of all, he talked about creating your own identity and making sure that you own your own identity on web and on digital real estate. And when we come back after the break, we're going to also come back. We're going to be hearing from Tony Dungy. He's going to be giving tips on what he was looking for in new projected NFL players, and it ties in perfectly because Coach Dungy understood exactly what his brand was, what his team's brand was, and what he was looking for in the people around him. And I think a lot of us that are in life, we want to make sure that not only do we own our brand and understand what our message is and understand the space that we've been called to dominate, but you also need to be able to identify what are the attributes that we should be looking for in other people that we want to be a part of our team. We're going to talk about that right after the break. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show.
Internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
When I was coaching football, the important thing was acquiring players and who you drafted and getting people that would fit into your team. And we looked for a lot of things, but one of them was leadership. When guys were in college, I wanted to know how they did when they were on their own and if they were people that led their team or if they were followers. Because to be a great team, you need leaders. We would talk to the college coaches, obviously. We talk to their teammates. We talk to the trainers and equipment men. What is this guy like in the locker room? What is he like on the practice field? What is he like in class? Because we definitely wanted leaders more so than followers.
That was Tony Dungy again in the Dungy Diary provided by All Pro Dad. Again, if you want to get access to that, you simply go to allprodad.com. And again, they have great tips and resources. And again, you're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Thank you so much. If you just joined us, you've missed Lamar Campbell and Kelly Holcomb as we gave just feedback on this weekend's sports. I gave my take on the Penn State scandal. We had Coach Dungy earlier talking about his journey in professional athletics and sports and his journey from tragedy to triumph and being a Super Bowl winning coach. And then my good friend Hodge Flemings, who will be featured on this weekend's CNN special Black in America, which will air Sunday, November 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, has talked to us about branding and creating a brand for your family. And before the break, we had a little technical difficulties, but he's back on now. And Hodge, as we wrap the show today, if you could give us again some of those points, and you talked about creating your own identity and owning your digital real estate and understanding some of those points and creating a brand. I want everyone here to really understand that everyone is created to do something special. All of us are wired by God to accomplish a specific task in a specific space. And so if you could sort of wrap up with some parting thoughts that you can give the listening audience on what they can do this week in starting to create that space and dominate that space.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again for this opportunity. So we talked about one, that you want to be able to create some kind of hub online that where people can actually find you. Also, too, you have to start out with some type of idea. What is the idea that you're going to work on? So I would look to create something and look to start out small. You know, start out with a small idea that you can then share. The great thing about the internet is that it allows you to be able to create content that can easily be shared. So say, for instance, if you launch a business, you have a website that's out there, there are ways to be able to create links for that so that other people can begin to see that particular product or service that you have to offer it, share it across multiple platforms, whether you have an account in Twitter, if you have something in Facebook, and give people the ability to be able to then share that with their community. You'll always hear this term called viral, right? And so everyone wants to create viral content. And if it was that easy, we could just go into a room and just create it. But what you want to do is that you want to give your idea the ability to be able to be shared and to be able to go viral. And to be able to do that, it has to be packaged in a way to be able to do that. And so packaging that idea so that it's social, and then also starting out with one idea and then just working that idea and beginning to really put feet to your face with that idea will be the thing that I would start out with in a very short term.
Haj, thank you so much. If you could, if I want to connect with you and continue to get points, and I want to let the audience know, I want to say, what was it, about 4 years ago or 5 years ago, we were at Word of Faith International at a service up there, and we were talking either before or after a service, and he told me about this website called Twitter. and said, you know, Freddie, you need to get on there. And I created, and I did exactly what your points said to do. I created a Twitter account with my name. And I remember you even responded back to me and said, hey, that's great for your branding. You know, I created my own FreddieScott.org site. And I remember the first time I started listening to your blog and all of that, I remember one of the posts you had made this comment that all branding is mental real estate. Mm-hmm. That when someone thinks of a subject, they automatically associate that subject with you. And so I want to thank you personally for the work that you're doing in the space that you're dominating, because you truly influence me in a positive way. And so for those listening right now, if they want to connect with you, connect with Brand Camp University, connect with the things that's going on, how do they connect with you?
Okay, they can, I'm on Twitter at Haj Flemings, HajjFlemings. They can also go to my website, BrandCampU, and that's just the letter U.com. And then if they want to bring me in to speak, they just go to HodgeFlemings.com.
Well, thank you again so much. And when you're talking about digital presence, this summer, as I wrap today's show, this summer my second son, Emmanuel, he spent the summer with his grandmother up in Detroit. And he spent time, took karate, did some really cool things, but he was away from me and his mom and the rest of his siblings for, you know, a couple months. And you know what he did when he missed us?
What?
He would go to my website and watch me speaking or watch the videos that I have posted or follow my Twitter feed or follow my Facebook post. And he said that that's what helped get him during those down times where he sort of missed us and just wanted to see me, but he knew he couldn't see me. He went to my website.
Wow.
And so dads, moms out there listening right now, even though branding could be for your business and trying to create that, you're in that grustle like Haj talked about, it could also be the thing that really helps connect your children to you, so that even one day should Jesus tarry and you're gone, they can go back and they can look at your stream. They can see your heart. They can see what your thoughts were on certain subjects. They can see what you are passionate about, and they can carry on your legacy even after we're gone.
Yes.
Until next week, again, we're going to have another Power Pack show talking about the weekend of sports and current events. We want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out to listen to today's show. Hodge, thank you again. This will not be the last time you're on the show. I want to thank I Am Second, All Pro Dad, and all the guests that are already on the show. Until next week, love and lead your family. This is the Freddie Scott Show.
All right, by me.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
All right, by me.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.